Here we are then, third in this little series of Wild Thing, and we've gone from the very small to the slightly larger this week. So last week, out and about with the Manx Invertebrate Group and with Steve Crellin, the incredible fly expert, although he doesn't like to be called that, of the Isle of Man. This week we've come to another expert on a species slightly larger, which everyone, I say everyone, most people will have seen at some stage if you've lived on the Isle of Man for any length of time and enjoy being out and about, wandering around the coastlines or on the shores and looking about. You'll have seen them somewhere. And this is cetaceans, whales, dolphins, and of course the island's famous basking sharks. And drop down to see Jen Adams from Manx Whale and Dolphin Watch, also taking in basking sharks now, of course.
Yes, absolutely. Hi, everyone. Yeah, we took over the basking shark sighting scheme back in 2022. So continuing the work that Manx Basking Shark Watch started about 20 years ago. So yeah, if you ever see a basking shark, as well as a whale, dolphin or porpoise, please do report it to Manx Whale and Dolphin Watch.
And of course, we just met up in the new headquarters, if people haven't been there. So it's if you're going to Cranky's Cafe in the High Street in Peel, you're just at the back there now. Great.
Yeah, so we've downsized a little bit. It's a lot more manageable for me. And we're now branded as the Manx Whale and Dolphin Watch Info Centre. So it's all about the most frequently asked questions that we have, which is, what can you see? Where can I go to see things and what's been spotted? So if you come to visit us, I can answer all of those for you. And if the visit, if the centre isn't manned, you could just pick up a leaflet, wander around, look at the display boards, and obviously stay for a coffee if you fancy as well.
Sounds a good idea to me. Well, that's exactly what we're going to do today, pretty much, is quiz you on just what's been going on and what people can see at this time of the year. And, well, we started with sort of basking sharks, and we were just saying before we sat down here on the Peel seafront, we can't, of course, guarantee, unlike the insects and the flies, you can guarantee seeing them somewhere. You can't just go out and automatically see a whale or a dolphin or a porpoise around the Isle of Man, although we know they are there. They just don't pop up conveniently when we want them to. But we'll start with baskers in any case. A few years back, you know, when I was a kid, I remember seeing them, then they disappeared for a while. Then we had a few years where there seemed to be literally hundreds spotted every year around the island. Now the number's much lower again.
Yeah, we had about 20 sightings last year. So the last really good basking shark year was actually 2010, so rather a long time ago. They have moved into other places. There are considerable aggregations of them off the west coast of Ireland in recent years. Mm. They've seen big groups of them doing this sort of courtship displays where they circle one another. And they estimate there's more than 100 basking sharks in this group. So they are doing well in other places. It is a shame we don't see them here nowadays. But you never know what's going to happen with the distribution and the shift of plankton and things. They might well come back. But that's why it's so important that if anybody does see one, you do report them to Manx Whale and Dolphin Watch's database so that we can keep an eye on all of the sightings and the numbers and add them up.
And is this what we're thinking? They follow the sort of streams of plankton, that their sort of food source, where that goes, that the baskers go?
Yeah, so they actually feed on zooplankton, which is the animal plankton. So you have plant plankton and animal plankton, and it's that these guys are feeding on. And the difficulty with all sharks, not just basking sharks, is that you can only see them when they're actually up at the top feeding. So they are fish, they have gills and they breathe through their gills. Now, if the plankton is just low down in the water, the sharks will be low down feeding, lower in the water column. And it's only when the plankton is actually blooming, it's up at the top, that you see the basking sharks and obviously their distinctive fin, dorsal and tail fin.
Absolutely, and like I said, I always remember seeing them as kids. We have a much better knowledge now, I think, due to the work over the years of Graham and Jackie Hall and such like, of how they sort of a bit more on their life cycle. And also the fact, I remember a year or two back, that some of them, even the ones we've seen around the Isle of Man in between the summer seasons here, will go right the way across the Atlantic and back again.
Yeah, so Jackie and Graham did some tagging work over the last sort of 10, 20 years. And it was so interesting to see that some of them did cross the Atlantic. There was another one that went down to Morocco, I think.
And yeah,
and South Africa. And another one, it just went to Cornwall and one to Scotland. So it was interesting, obviously, but to see that they didn't go to one place, because it was thought before that they probably all would go to the one same place, but they were just going here, there and everywhere. So they basically just latch onto a tidal current and they let it take them wherever it goes.
Brilliant. Just sort of sail away across. Yeah. Yeah, minimum effort. Sounds good to me.
Sounds great.
We're coming into basking shark season, I suppose. Is the, as you say, numbers are somewhat down, but they are still spotted. Is there a best side of the island to be, or a sort of a, an ideal spot? Or frankly, is it a case of keep your eyes open anywhere?
Keep your eyes open anywhere, really. So typically, it's west coast for basking sharks. So it always used to be Peel, Niarbul, in recent years off of Port Erin as well. But saying that, last year, the first sighting was quite early. It was the 27th of April, which actually was yesterday. And we had sightings off of Laxey and one off Castletown and Scarlet, I think, and then at the Sound as well. So it was a little bit unusual that they were on the East Coast. So as I say, not just West Coast anymore, it could be anywhere. But the way to tell the difference between a basking shark and a cetacean is that cetaceans are mammals, so therefore they breathe air. So they will roll through the water, like up and down, almost like a wheel kind of rolling. Whereas basking sharks are fish, so they remain slow and steady at the surface. So you'll see a triangle-shaped dorsal fin, and sometimes the tail fin as well, moving in a slow, steady line. They won't go up and down like a dolphin does.
And of course, they're large. They're big, the old baskers.
They can be, yeah, yeah. The ones that we see here can be anywhere from between small ones, so maybe 2 meters, to 8+ meters in length. They have been recorded to be even longer than that. They're big, big animals.
Always amazes me as well, again, that crazy thing of, you look at the size of them, you look at the size of their jaws, and you think, gosh, I've never been that close, but you think, you know, someone could almost swim through their mouths, and yet they feed on these tiny zooplankton.
It's mad, isn't it? And even the biggest shark, the whale shark, that you get in the tropics, they also are plankton feeders as well. It's just incredible, really, to realise that. They're just sort of big, gentle giants.
Yeah. And it's sort of, even though, like you say, obviously the work you're doing now, Mike's Whale and Dolphin Watch, and then Jackie and Graham have done before, and yet it's incredible, isn't it, for something so large, such a sort of piece of megafauna, that we still don't have a fantastic understanding of the whole life cycle.
No, there's still a lot of things that people don't know. To my knowledge, I don't think anyone's ever recorded them mating. So, yeah, there's not actually that many basking shark scientists out there. Likewise, there are not many marine mammal scientists out there. We actually, people, know more about outer space than they do about life under the water.
That's a bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah, mad.
There you go, crazy fact for you. Right, on to some of the cetaceans then. So, as you were saying, the sharks, actually, just before we leave sharks, do we actually get many other sharks around the island's coast? Or that the Basker's far and away the biggest and most famous. Do we get any other sightings of sharks?
Yeah, good question, actually. I'm glad you asked that. So we do, and a lot of people just don't know about them because they are under the surface all the time. So we get the thresher shark, which you will only see very rarely when they actually breach full body out of the water. They've got a really long scythed shaped tail on them. So we know they are here. They have been seen and recorded here. We also have tope. We have cat shark.
And it's tope, I think I've seen. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so some of the fishing tours actually do catch and release tope. And the Manx Wildlife Trust has a catch and release tagging scheme for small shark species. And there is another group that are working with Manx Wildlife Trust to kind of find out more about small sharks around the Isle of Man. So I won't say too much about it, but watch this space.
Excellent. Oh, that's exciting. We always like it. Watch the space bit. Always good. Something to look forward to. Okay, on to the cetaceans now then. So we're talking now mammals rather than fish, of course. And, well, two of the most famous, albeit not famous as far as I'm concerned. This is Starlight and Moonlight, or Sunlight and Moonlight, as I think I called them earlier on. Because I've never seen them. I still have not seen them. They've been around sort of Peel for years now, and I've not spotted them once.
Oh, do you know what? You're not the only person. There's plenty of people that have never, ever seen them, and there's likewise other people that seem to see them all the time. You really have to be lucky or just patient, really, with these guys. So, incredible backstory. If somebody doesn't know, a lot of people do know, but if you don't know, Moonlight is actually from the east coast of Scotland, so from the Moray Firth, and she is around about 35, probably a bit older than that now.
Wow. Is that a good age for a dolphin? It seems good age.
They're known to, or thought to, live up to about 50.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, in 2019, she and her sons, Luna and Shadow, and another pod of about 20 bottlenose dolphins left their home. They were photographed close and shore around the top of Scotland and off Ireland and in different places around the west of England. And Moonlight and Luna, her son, definitely did come to the Isle of Man together in September 2019 when she was heavily pregnant. Moonlight then went on to give birth to Starlight down in Guernsey Bay in September, 16th of September 2019. And the two of them have been like on their own ever since. So Luna, we actually found out some really interesting information last year from the Clyde Marine Mammal Group, about 18 miles north from here, that Luna has actually set up home in the Clyde, the Firth of Clyde, the Clyde estuary. There's about five other dolphins hanging out with him. And then Moonlight is obviously here with Starlight. And the pair of them have just been like a social solitary pair. So they don't hang around with any other dolphins, but they do seem to like hanging around and interacting with people, which can be great and also is a concern for us. So we do actually have a Moonlight and Starlight code of conduct specifically for that pair, which just highlights the do's and don'ts of if you happen to be in the water and those dolphins do come to you, because they are very, very comfortable to be around boats and swimmers and paddleboarders and sometimes jet skis as well. And it's so important that people know what to do to make sure that those dolphins are always healthy and happy and safe and don't get injured or anything. So it's down to us as a Manx community to really look after them.
Absolutely. And it's an interesting point you're saying that, and that obviously it's always been known, I think, that dolphins do quite often are curious and interact with humans. And do we know, is it unusual for them to not be in a big sort of social pod with loads of others, just the two of them together? Is that sort of because they like mixing with humans, or is that an unknown quantity?
Yeah, it is quite unusual. So most dolphins do hang out together, obviously, in big pods, depending on the species. Bottlenose dolphins are highly social dolphins, and they hang around in big mixed-sexed pods. But every now and then you do get these solitary dolphins. They're known as social solitary, but that means that they're social with humans. There was actually a famous example of one over on the west coast of Ireland, Fungi. Did you ever hear about Fungi?
No, don't think I have.
Okay, he lived in Dingle Bay for 48 years.
Wow.
So that was pretty much his entire life. And he just hung out in this bay. And he went up to all the boat tours and things, and he avoided any other dolphins that came into his area. And we also had another famous, to some, solitary dolphin here in the Isle of Man, which was Donald.
Donald. I do remember Donald. I'm showing my age now.
Okay, Donald. So he was around in the 1970s.
I'm so I'm told.
In the south of the island. And he befriended some divers as well. So it does happen. But what's really interesting, I think, for me, is that the Moray Firth dolphins that have gone on to live in different parts of the UK and Ireland all seem to show these same behavioural traits. So they've either gone off in ones or twos and they don't like interacting with any other dolphins that come near them. Now, we don't know exactly why this is, but I do have some theories. Would you like to hear them?
Of course.
Okay, so don't take my word for it in case
correct. It's a theory.
It's a theory. So dolphins, bottlenose in particular, are known to have regional dialects. And we know this through recording the echolocation and the signature whistles that they have. So it could well be that the Moray Firth dolphins have this Scottish dialect, this Scottish accent, if you like. And then, obviously, Moonlight is here. The other bottlenose that we see around the Isle of Man, we know are from Wales, from Cardigan Bay. So let's say that they have a Welsh accent and they can't understand each other, as a theory.
Sounds totally plausible to me. I mean, yep. I know it sort of sounds odd before, but I've listened to various programmes and you hear this time and again, even things like cattle have regional accents in their sort of mooing and such.
Do
like
they?
Yeah. Cattle up in Scotland make a different kind of moo to cattle down in
And
animals have accents, so I can believe it, yeah, totally.
Wow, okay. Well, I didn't know that about cattle. That's incredible. Yeah. That's exceptional.
True, apparently.
It?
I mean, again, don't take my word for it, but I've certainly either heard or read something about that somewhere, about regional cattle accents. Fascinating stuff. Both bottlenose dolphins we're talking about there. So is that sort of a winter time that you expect to see bottlenose, or can you see them in the forthcoming months?
Yeah, so Moonlight and Starlight are an exception because they are resident here, so they are seen almost every day all year round. But the larger pods of bottlenose are predominantly winter visitors, so we usually see them off the east coast of the island between October and March. And sometimes they come back in the summer, but not always, you can't really guarantee it. In the last few years, they've been hanging out off Laxey. So Laxey Bay is actually a marine nature reserve, and the bottlenose seem to really like it there. I think there's lots of food at the moment.
And what will they be feeding off chiefly?
They eat pretty much anything, really. They're quite opportunistic, but they're also very, very clever species. So they will target oily, fatty fish, so sort of mackerel and bass and salmon, you know, if there are any around. Exactly. They know what fish are good for them, and they will target that species.
That's brilliant. So maybe we're getting sort of a little bit late in the season, other than for our two resident dolphins to see bottlenose. What about the Risso's dolphin then?
Okay, so Risso is my favourite species. They have come back. So they leave the Isle of Man every winter. We don't actually know exactly where they go because we've never had a photo ID match out of season. But they come back to the Isle of Man every year in March time, and they usually hit the east coast first, which they have. So we know there's a pod of at least 10 of them around at the moment. And they first arrived about a month ago, and they've been seen swimming very close inshore at Marine Drive, all the way down to Port Sodrick. And then I actually saw a couple the other day down at the Sound when I was doing a watch down there as well. So the east coast down to the Calf of Man at the moment. And then later on in the summer, we'll see them coming up to the west, and they get spotted off in the Arbor sometimes as well.
And of course, they're sort of very different. They've got that sort of higher sort of forehead, and they haven't got the sort of the, well, they haven't got the bottle nose, really, have they?
No, they don't. They don't have the bottle shaped nose. They've actually got a rounded head, completely blunt with no beak. They have a very tall, sometimes quite straight dorsal fin, and they're covered in scratches and scars. So they can really vary in colour. Sometimes the younger ones you'll see very quite dark grey individuals, and they get this build-up of white scarring on them, which is caused by fighting with their prey. So unlike the bottlenose, Risso's don't actually tend to eat fish, but they eat octopus and squid.
Oh, right.
And so those animals are very clever themselves, and they attack back at the dolphin.
Yeah, I bet
they do. Yeah, and then the octopus actually, its tentacles will latch onto the skin of the Risso's dolphin and will pull bits of skin off.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Did you not? Good. It's mad because it's so interesting for us, because the whiter the Risso, the older the dolphin, we can assume, because it's like a lifetime of battle scars that they've developed. And the male Risso's dolphins tend to be whiter as well because they fight with each other more, furthermore building up on the scarring.
Wow. I don't know who to feel more sorry for, the octopus or the,
yeah.
Well, or the Risso's.
To put it in comparison, a lot of people are familiar with sperm whales, haven't seen them on documentaries and things, and they also have scratches and scars all along their head. And it's for the same reason, but the sperm whales are eating giant squid, and our Risso's are just eating the common squid, but it is the same reason. It's the attacking back of those cephalopods.
Wow. It sounds like a much harder diet than the bottlenose go for, really.
Yeah, I think you need to be quite brave, really, to battle an octopus. I mean, I wouldn't.
No, don't think I would.
Very clever and very strong as well.
Why are they your favourites, the Risso's? You said they're your favourites.
They're just really interesting. So worldwide, they're quite understudied as a species. There's only around about 30 Risso's dolphin scientists in the world.
That's isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, because we have meetups every few years. And the reason for this is because in most parts of the world, the Risso's actually inhabit really deep water. So we're talking maybe 2,000 metres of water depth off the continental shelves. The best place on Earth to see them is the Azores, and that's incredibly deep, volcanic landmass. So it's so fascinating for me that we are seeing them around the Isle of Man, where it's actually really shallow. So, I mean, we see them in like 30 or 40 metres of water depth, which for the species is quite unheard of. So we do have a very unique population of them here, and we see the same individuals coming back every year. because we have a photo catalogue of them. And you can actually recognise individual dolphins due to the scratches and scars on their body, predominantly on their dorsal fin. So if we get good quality photographs of them, including photos from any member of the public, then please send them in and we can hopefully catalogue them and see whether those rissos have been to the Isle of Man before, through the months and years, and also match them up outside of the Isle of Man with different regions. So we know through this work that some of our rissos go to Bardsey and Anglesey and also to Cornwall as well.
Brilliant. And coming into the time of year, so East Coast chiefly, if you want to keep an eye out for those?
At the moment, East Coast is where the rissos dolphins are. And like I said, they have been seen really close in at Marine Drive in the last couple of weeks. Like so close that you can almost look down on them rather than looking out.
I'm there. I've got to look down, haven't I? I've got to look over the cliff.
Exactly, yeah. How often do you actually get out and walk along Marine
Not
Drive?
Not often enough, I tell you.
Go on your lunch break, but go on a calm day. So a day like today when it's windy, you're probably not going to see much. Like the animals are still there, but it's difficult to spot them in amongst the waves and the chop. But if you do go out and look, try and go on a nice, flat, calm day. I know we don't get them that often, but do try to. And it just helps your chances of seeing cetaceans.
Brilliant. So if you see something like it's not going to be a bottlenose, it'll almost certainly be a rissos at this time of year.
You can never be certain, but we just don't know. Sometimes you get strange things coming in or things out of season that we don't expect. We might still have some bottlenose dolphins hanging around. I think there was actually a report about a week ago of 6 bottlenose off Peel area. So now is kind of the changeover month between the bottlenose and rissos. We probably will see the bottlenose departing probably over the next month or so, and the rissos will stay all the way through the summer until September or October.
Brilliant. Any other dolphin species you'd be likely to see around the island?
Yes. Oh. I saw a pod of short-beaked common dolphins on Saturday, just gone. 3 days ago?
Yeah.
Off the Sound. So it was a lovely calm day. As we all know, Saturday was marvellous for weather. I spent 8 hours doing coastal surveying. And in those 8 hours, I saw a pod of probably about 30 short-beaked common dolphins feeding, looking west from the Sound. And I could see in the water what looked like bait balls. So you could see kind of lines and movements on, you know, making a pattern. There was a lot of gannets diving in and getting involved in the action. And these common dolphins were just charging through, changing direction. And that's a key sign that cetaceans are feeding, is when they don't move in one straight direction, but they're variable with their actions. And in the same... that particular survey at that location, in that same survey, I saw the rissos dolphins and some porpoises as well.
Wow, brilliant. Well, we're just sort of coming towards porpoise. So harbour porpoise, I assume, is the one I sort of know of around the Isle of Man. That's a year-round visitor, summer visitor, winter?
Harbour porpoise are here all year round.
All year round?
Yeah.
I thought they were. So can you see them anywhere around the island again, or is it a good spot to go for those if people are looking out?
You can see them anywhere, but there are hot spots. So Port St Mary, Carrick Bay is the hot spot for harbour porpoise.
And can you actually tell if you're sort of seeing it? Is it easy or impossible for your average punter out watching to tell the difference between a harbour porpoise and, say, a rissos if they see them around?
Yeah, a lot of people struggle with the porpoises because they're quite small. So they're only about 5 foot, you know, sort of a metre and a half-ish. They're a small animal. They've got a tiny triangle dorsal fin, and they're quite distinctive in their manner. So they're not active like dolphins are. You won't see them bow riding with a boat. You won't see them charging through the water and creating disturbance as they go. They're very gentle, very timid, and they roll through the water. And I often liken them to a wheel. You know, imagine a car tire rolling gently, rolling up and down, a grey sort of roll. Very gentle. I love them. They seem like a very sensitive species. But yes, the main difference is their behaviour, their gentleness and their size as well.
Beautiful. And just the one species of porpoise we're going to see the harbour, or are there more we might spot here?
No, just the harbour porpoise around the Isle of Man. Yeah.
Easy enough then. So that's another one to look out for, which brings us, of course, on to the whales, the biggest generally of the group. The one I've certainly seen, I think it's the only one I've seen, to be honest, around the Isle of Man, is the minke.
Yes, so that's the main whale species that you will see here is the minke whale. And we usually see them turn up off the west of the island offshore in sort of May time. And they'll spend the summer off of the west coast of the island, moving their way down to offshore from the Calf. And then they will come up the east coast in the autumn time, September, October. And although they are present in all of those months, definitely the best time to see them, or month to see them, is in the autumn when they come close in, again off Marine Drive. That's a really good spot.
What I saw them one time, and really close in off Marine Drive.
Yeah, these animals, like the Risso's dolphins, you can sometimes look down the coast to see them. And with the minkes, you can smell their breath as well.
Get away.
They've got a really unfortunate nickname, which is Stinky Minky.
Oh, that's hardly fair, is it, when you can see what they eat?
I know. But it's like, I always say to the kids, imagine if all you ate every day was fish and you never brushed your teeth. That's how these minke whales smell. Yeah. And if the wind is coming onshore, straight onto you, you will smell their fishy breath.
Yeah, I've never realised that. Never done it. I don't know whether I want to, but I sort of feel I ought to now.
You will now. Maybe you will. Yeah, it has to be a nice calm day and the wind has to be coming onto you.
Not a lot of kissing going on in the minke whale community.
No. Well, maybe they like that. Maybe that's their thing.
Yeah, they probably do. Really attractive.
The fishier, the better.
I feel sorry for them now. Stinky minkies. Minkies, they're lovely. When I've seen them, they're gorgeous things. But I will now keep a nose open, I suppose, to see if I can smell their breath the next time they're really close in. Fascinating. So they're the most common, but we do get other occasional sightings.
Sometimes we see humpback whales here. The last one spotted was, testing me now, 2 years ago in January. There was a sighting and a photograph off of Cranstoun near the Point of Ayr. Of an obvious humpback whale, but interestingly, this particular humpback had these kind of like dots on its skin, like the skin lesions, and then it left the Isle of Man, and about a week later, I saw via social media that my colleagues at the Sea Trust in Pembrokeshire in Wales spotted the same minke whale, and again, you could recognise it because of the pattern of skin lesions. And that minke stayed off of Fishguards Bay for about 2 weeks. And they nicknamed it Humpy, and loads of people got to see it from the coast. And then it left there, and it popped off of St Ives about a week later. So it's so interesting, and shows the power of social media for marine mammal conservation.
Yeah, brilliant from that point of view.
Yeah. But in terms of sightings around the Isle of Man, I'd say probably one sighting of humpback every 4 years.
So you're going to be lucky if you see one of those.
You'll be very lucky to see one, but
rarer, I think. But I know they have been seen, fin whale.
Yes, sometimes the fin whale. Amazingly, they are the second biggest animal in the world, and they can be seen here. Now, I must stress how rare it is. I have seen two at the same time off Marine Drive in 2016, which Howard reminded me was 10 years ago now. So yeah. They are absolutely huge. They can grow to about 26 metres. And they produce a really tall, distinctive blow. So a spout of, it looks like a spout of water when it comes up, when they're actually exhaling air. And that's the key for seeing these things. So a minke whale is much smaller. They're only about 8 or 9 metres, about maybe as long as a bus.
Big enough.
I mean, they're still massive, but for a whale, a minke whale is really small. And for a fin whale, they're massive. And minke whales don't produce any kind of blow that you would see either.
Brilliant. So anything else on the whale front then that people might spot, or really, or we covered it with the minkes, very rare fin, and the humpbacks. Anything else people might see, or is that really covering the most bases?
That does cover it. That definitely covers it. But you just never know what's going to be spotted. 3 years ago I saw a swordfish. Which was just...
Yeah, I remember reading about that, yeah.
It was mental. It was completely... it sort of felt as I stepped off the boat thinking I was still in a dream, because you wouldn't expect it anywhere even close to the Isle of Man, and it just happened. So it just goes to show that you just don't know what's out there. Anything could pop up.
So just keep your eyes open is the main thing. Get out, enjoy. You'll be walking around the coast, on the beach, and I suppose it's sometimes better to be a little bit raised up.
Yes, elevation really does help. It absolutely. The more height you get above sea level, the further that you can actually see as well. So that's probably why Marine Drive is such a good spot for lots of people. And yeah, like I said earlier, try and go on a calm day. Also look out for birds. So especially the gannets, they have such good vision that they fly around looking for dolphins because they assume the dolphins are feeding and pushing fish to the surface. So if you see these white birds with black wingtips that look like arrows just darting into the water, have a good look at the area, get your binoculars out if you have them, and there may well be cetaceans popping up feeding under there.
Brilliant. Oh, we've seen a couple of gannets since we've been sitting here on Peel Seafront, so but a bit windy probably to be able to see any of the cetaceans today. But great to catch up with you, Jen, and all the wonderful work going on with Manx Whale and Dolphin Watch. Just a reminder, if people want to find out more, pop in and see you. So when can people go to drop into Crankies and see you at the back, or go and see the centre and the sightings? If people want to put sightings, how do they do that?
Yes, so we've actually just changed our opening hours to coincide with Crankies. So going forward, we will be open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday every week. So Wednesday to Saturday, 10 till 3. And even if the desk is unmanned, you can still pop in and have a little browse of our area as well. And in terms of reporting sightings, go onto the Manx Whale and Dolphin Watch website. There's a really simple reporter sighting form. You don't need to register. You just put as much or as little information down as you can. And that sighting will be submitted to us, and we will reach out and ask you for more things if we need to. And even if you're not sure what you've seen, you've just seen a something, you know, you think it's a dolphin, but you don't really know, get in touch and we would love to chat to you, because probably 98% of the time we can work out what species it was.
Brilliant. And just finally, is there still the app? Because I think one of my colleagues used to have an app saying, oh, look, I've just had something pop up. There's you know, such and such, some dolphin spotted off the Marine Drive.
Yes, we do have an app. It uses Telegram Messenger, which is very similar to WhatsApp. It's like a chat, you know, messaging service. So if you download Telegram Messenger on your phone and then get in touch with us, just go onto the website and find our email address. Get in touch and say, hi, this is my name, this is my number, please can you add me to your Telegram group, then I will get back to you and add you. And there's probably about maybe close to 300 users on there now, and it's busy every day with pings of people seeing cetaceans. So an example might be that we could be sat here in Peel Bay and Moonlight and Starlight are in, and I'll get my app out and say Moonlight and Starlight or two dolphins in Peel now. And anyone else who's got that Telegram group will get a notification, and hopefully you can just be like, oh yeah, I can see them. And it's helped a lot of people to see things for the first ever time.
Brilliant. There you go. Pop down at the shop, go and see Jane, get out and about and walk about, try out the Messenger app, so you know perhaps if you're in the right spot, and just keep your eyes peeled. Lovely to catch up, and yeah, best of luck with the rest of the sightings and the research work through the summer, and maybe we'll catch up later in the year.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm just going to actually just add something on to that.
Please do.
So most people assume that you have to be on a boat to see these incredible animals, but you don't. The vast majority of our sightings actually come from the coast, from just sitting or walking along the headlands, being on a beach and looking out to sea. So it is remarkable what you can actually spot. And we always encourage people to try and go out spotting from the coast as well, so as not to interfere with them in any way, you know, even unintentionally. When you're on a boat and dolphins might come up to you and ride with your bow, you are unintentionally changing their behavior. But by watching from the coast, you can see them just hanging out, socializing, feeding, playing with their friends, and just watching what they do.